Hey, Eric, you look cold. Want to use me as a blanket?
Sure.
Eric, did it hurt when you fell from the vending machine? Because you're looking like a snack.
Wow.
Are you a pie? Because I'd like a piece of you.
Oh,
see, I'm totally ready for this week.
I don't know what the pickup lines have to do with you being ready.
I've been preparing to be a hitman. I'm hitting on you.
I don't think you know what hitman means. Let's.
What do you mean?
A hitman is a person who like murders people, not with pickup lines, but with like deadly force.
No, wow. I was so confused during this game. You know, that really explains a lot.
Yeah, Agent 47 is not hitting on nearly enough people to be called hitman.
All right. Anyways, obviously, this is Press Any Button that you're listening to. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
And this week we are going to be talking about, well, this month actually, we're going to be talking about Hitman Blood Money.
Woo! The ultimate Christmas game.
The ultimate Christmas game. So Christmassy.
Yeah.
Everywhere you look. All right, Hitman Blood Money is a stealth game developed by IO Interactive and published by Eidos Interactive. It was released in May 2006 for Microsoft Windows, PlayStation 2, Xbox, and Xbox 360. The story follows cloned assassin, who is called Agent 47, in their efforts to bring down the franchise, with a capital F, that's what the name of the company or whatever is called, the franchise. Okay, a rival contract killing organization that is threatening his employers. Bum, bum, bum.
Probably the worst people.
Oh, yeah. Clearly the bad guys here.
I guess there is a little bit of a spoiler warning for the story stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, spoiler warned.
I mean, this is from 2006, so, I mean, what's the, like, limit, you know, the limit, what is it, the statute of limitations on spoilers?
I feel like any game that has a story, and the story isn't just, like, save the princess or something like that, could potentially have...
at least put a warning out there.
Yeah.
All right.
Because there's stuff that happens. I mean, it's not, like, a super complicated, over-the-top story.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a story there.
Cool. All right. Well, warning issued.
All right. Yeah. So you ready to get into it?
Yeah. Were you able to find a good amount of history?
Not a ton of stuff on Blood Money itself, but I decided just to do like the franchise as a whole.
Okay.
Or to start off with the original Hitman and then skip ahead to the Blood Money Hitman.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
Let's get into it. Just one more for fun, babe. If the big man, and I'm talking about Santa Claus, puts you in a bag tonight, don't worry. I told him I wanted you for Christmas.
God, this is
unless
so bad.
That Santa is bald and has a barcode on the back of his head.
How does not everyone see the barcode and are like, okay, there's something up with this guy?
Dude, the people in this game are dumb. And they're like, all have facial blindness.
Face blindness.
Yeah, which yeah. I learned.
I wouldn't say they're that dumb. I mean, they're definitely like, if they see you kill someone, they're not just going to like turn around and like forget about it.
Yeah, but you can also just put on their coworker's clothing and they're just like, la, 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 whatever. You have the outfit. It doesn't matter if I've never seen you before. And my coworker just went to the bathroom and then you went in and then like, you came out with a different outfit on. Like, no, none of that.
Okay, we'll get on into that. All right.
Okay.
All right. That's not important right now.
All right. So, Eric, what did you learn when you were doing your research?
Like I said, I'm going to start with like the Hitman, like how it started before mm-hmm. I get into Hitman Blood Money.
Okay.
So Hitman started as the first intellectual property or IP for the newly formed Danish developer IO Interactive.
Cool. Cool.
Before this, most of the employees had been working for a completely different company called Xyrinx, which had been making like Sega Genesis and Sega Saturn games.
Cool. That's an interesting name. I guess it's Danish or whatever.
Xyrinx?
Yeah.
Probably.
I've never heard that word before.
Okay. So originally for their first game, IO Interactive set out to make a fantasy MMO called Rex Dominus. That was like their first idea for a game. Like, okay we're MMO, this new company.
That's what is that? Mass multiplayer online?
Online, yeah, something? Exactly.
Okay, cool.
So it's a big like, yeah, online game.
What's like an example of that?
So World of Warcraft is one of the biggest ones, but there's a bunch like...
Does like Fortnite count?
I believe so, yeah. Okay, so yeah, they're going to make an MMO for their first game.
Yeah, that sounds ambitious.
Yeah, especially like this would have been back in 2000. Yeah, in the year 2000.
Whoa.
So yeah,
ancient
very
times.
Very ambitious for 2000. Mm-hmm. But one of the companies that had a large stake in IO Interactive, Nordisk Film, was like, hey, before you make this massive game, why don't you test yourself first by making a simple shooter?
Very wise.
Yeah, very wise. So IO Interactive decided to make a run-and-gun style shooter inspired by John Woo films such as Hard Boiled and The Killer. So their first idea was, yeah, run-and-gun style.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, which
we're getting there.
Yeah, we're slowly inching our way closer.
Mm-hmm.
So because they were initially unable to get a development kit for console, and they liked how the graphics capabilities had come on PCs, they decided to make the game a PC game.
Oh, okay.
So one of the first problems they ran into was the death animation looked too static to the developers. Like you'd kill somebody and then like their death didn't necessarily follow physics or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the coders tried to see if they could use like real-time inverse kinematics for the falling bodies. And there's a better term that you'll recognize here in a minute.
Okay.
And this led to the first use of advanced, like, ragdoll physics in a video game.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. You know, like, how, you know, you die and the body just, like, totally goes limp mm-hmm. and it falls. It kind of falls like a normal, like, a body, the way you would expect a body to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the original Hitman was one of the first games to feature ragdoll physics.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. So before... Anytime someone would die or something, they would just like fall very like stiffly.
Or it was just an animation.
Oh, okay.
Usually it would just be like an animation and then they'd vanish or something like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they felt like the animation didn't really necessarily capture like all the different ways you could kill somebody. Mm-hmm. So if you kill someone in the air, you know, seeing that same animation where someone were on the ground or something, you know, it wouldn't look right.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
So... this like new physics system caught the eye of British publisher Eidos Interactive, who would then kind of like after some negotiation agree to be their main publisher. So yeah, they saw that and they're like, oh man, these guys are like really like doing some cutting edge stuff.
They're on to something.
Yeah.
And now that's the norm. Yeah. That's pretty cool though.
So Eidos encouraged IO Interactive to move away from the run and gun idea and move more towards the stealth action direction.
Huh. Why? Just because of that mechanic or?
I think it was just honestly like just one of the things, one of the guys who was communicating with IO Interactive was, they were kind of like into stealth games and they wanted to see a stealth
like,
game.
I want you to make this for me, basically.
Yeah, that was generally my impression, but I might be way off.
Yeah.
So yeah, the original Hitman Agent 47 was released in the year 2000 and received some mixed reviews due to the high difficulty of the game.
Okay, so it's a little too hard.
Yeah. So now we're going to skip ahead to 2004.
That was my fast forward sound effect. Very realistic.
Thank you, Nikki.
You're welcome.
So Hitman 2, Silent Assassin, and Hitman Contracts had already been released, and both did pretty well. At this point, like, IO Interactive kind of is establishing a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
They got some successful games in it. Everyone's pretty happy. So around this time, Eidos actually buys IO Interactive for £23 million.
What?
Yeah, so they're clearly a big believer in them.
Okay.
Or they have a pretty good relationship.
So now, are they still two different companies, just like with one parent company, or do they like merge?
I think they keep the name separate. So
gotcha.
And they're still IO Interactive. Like that's currently still who's developing Hitman. So they still have that division of their company, I guess. So Hitman Blood Money started development while IO Interactive was actually still working on Hitman Contracts, which is the game that came out before it.
Okay.
But it wouldn't officially be announced until November of 2004.
They just probably had like a timeline where they wanted the next game like to come out.
So yeah, like, we they were kind of like start
working on it.
I think they were kind of like turning these things out. It's like, hey, this is a moneymaker. We need these games.
Yeah. I can't blame them.
Yeah. So Blood Money continued the story from the previous installment and represented a significant leap forward in terms of graphics, AI, and level design, thanks to the increased resources from both IO and Eidos.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, because Eidos like bought IO, they were able to invest more into the game.
Yeah, I thought the graphics looked pretty good. I mean, I'm not normally into like the really old games and stuff because the graphics get a little too indistinguishable. Yeah. But I thought this one looked pretty good. I know we have like the remastered one, but I thought it still looked
for a PS2 era game. Yeah, this game definitely looked great. So the soundtrack was composed by Jesper Keid and was performed with the Budapest Symphony Orchestra and the Hungarian Radio Choir.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
that sounds really, really awesome. I like the music in this game too.
Yeah. So Blood Money received critical acclaim for its graphics, narrative, gameplay, voice acting, and the darker tone it took than some of the other games. And it was also a commercial success, selling more than 2.1 million copies.
Wow. Awesome.
Pretty awesome for 2006. Blood Money would show up in a couple of bundles later, including Hitman HD Trilogy in 2013 and Hitman HD Enhanced Collection in 2019.
Okay. And in the scheme of things, where does this game land? So you have the first Hitman, and then you have Hitman 2?
Yeah, and I'm going to get into that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I did notice something that's a pet peeve of ours that goes with this game. And I don't know if you're going to talk about it or not. But
I'm going to talk about the ridiculous timeline in one of my fun facts. So
okay, and how there's two Hitman 2s.
Yes, and how there's two Hitman 2s. That was going to be one of my fun facts.
Okay.
Spoiler.
Sorry.
It's all right. All right. So Hitman Blood Money was then ported to iOS, Android, and Nintendo Switch in 2023 and 2024. Which is called Hitman Blood Money Reprisal, which is what we played.
Gotcha.
So we played a port of a game from 2006.
Okay, so not a remaster, just
not a remaster, but a port. Gotcha. But there are some differences, and I'll kind of go into that.
Okay, sweet.
So yeah, that's my history, and now I'm going to do some fun facts.
Yay, fun facts.
I got three, but they're kind of longer fun facts. So.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so fun fact number one.
Uno.
Several advertisements promoting Blood Money generated controversy for their violent imagery.
Oh, no.
The ad that drew the most attention depicted a woman lying on the bed in lingerie with a bullet hole in her forehead and with the caption, beautifully executed, above the picture.
Damn. Yeah, I can see why people would be mad at that.
Yeah. And other ads in that same series included an ad that had the line, classically executed, which featured a cellist with his throat slit.
Sounds very graphic.
Coldly executed, which showed a body in a freezer, and shockingly executed, which depicted a naked woman electrocuted in a bath with a toaster.
What the hell? He doesn't even kill that many women. I mean, some, but it's mostly dudes, I feel like.
And he never kills anyone with the toaster. I would have remembered that.
I mean, not in this game, anyways. Yeah, we would have remembered that. That would have been...
I wonder if there was a way to execute someone with a toaster. Maybe I missed that.
Not in this game. I don't remember even seeing a toaster anywhere, so.
Yeah, but those ads are like, they were pretty controversial. And in fact, I think they're still pretty shocking, even if they were to be released today.
Probably would not get away with it.
Probably definitely wouldn't get away with it either.
No, 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 no. It's like, you can't just be doing that. Like, there's too much violence out there, especially against women, domestic violence and stuff, where that's just not cool. Even if you're just advertising it, and I totally get it, but there's a taste level there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, so fun fact number two. So Blood Money Reprisal added several features that weren't in the original game, and those features include the mini-map and Instinct Mode.
Oh, that's helpful. Awesome. Yeah, I like Instinct Mode, too.
So that's where you can view, you can hold, like, one of the buttons, and it'll highlight some of the objects you can interact with.
Yeah, I think it's R1.
Yeah, so do you think the game would have been harder without those features?
Oh, yeah, oh my god, a million times. Like, a million bajillion times harder.
Yeah, that mini-map is, like, pretty handy. I was using that all the
time. Yeah, y'all gotta keep that in mind. If y'all played it on Nintendo 64 back in the day...
It was on PS2 and Xbox.
I mean, I'm sorry, I don't know why I was thinking that. Because I guess we played on Nintendo. But yeah, if you played it on the PlayStation 2 or Xbox back in the day... We definitely have a way easier version that we played.
Yeah, so I think really what you were trying to do when you played it on those versions was you're trying to actually look at the faces of the NPCs to try to, like, figure out which one they were. So it would have been a significantly harder game without that radar.
That would have been a lot harder.
Yeah. Okay, and so my final fun fact number three, was yes, there are two different Hitman 2 games. One called Hitman 2 Silent Assassin, which came out in 2002, and one called Hitman 2, which came out in 2018.
Why?
So let me get into the confusing mess of Hitman game titles for a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. So Hitman Agent 47 came out on PC in 2000. The sequel Hitman 2 Silent Assassin came out to PC and consoles in 2002. When developers realized that most of the players who played Hitman 2 never played the first one due to it being a PC-only game, they repurposed and improved a lot of the original levels for Hitman Contracts. This is why if you bought the Hitman Trilogy in 2007, it only included Hitman 2, Silent Assassin, Hitman Contracts, and Hitman Blood Money.
Huh.
So the original trilogy doesn't really include the first game, at least when... people are usually talking about it because, like I said, a lot of those levels got repurposed into Hitman Contracts.
Yeah, that's interesting. So why not just release ports for PlayStation and stuff? Like, since that game was only on PC, why not just port it out to other consoles?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, instead they just kind of included those levels and kind of improved them in a game that was essentially a sequel. So yeah, Hitman Contracts was the third one. Hitman Blood Money was the fourth game in the series, if you're keeping count so far.
Yeah, it's better to look at the graph too. So that's interesting. And then they just gave up the numbers altogether.
Yeah, so now we're going to skip ahead. There was Blood Money Absolution, which we're going to skip over because it actually doesn't fall into either of the trilogies.
What? It's just a totally separate thing?
It just doesn't fit into either of the trilogies that ended up forming. Yeah.
Okay.
So then we get to 2016, where we get the sixth installment in the series. And for some reason, they decided to call the game Hitman, even though it is not a reboot. Like, it is part of the same story. There is one story that is continuing through all of this.
Someone needs to be fired.
So then we get to Hitman 2 in 2018, and the most recent, which was Hitman 3 in 2021.
Gotcha.
And the crazy part is that they're all part of one continuous story. So the 2018 Hitman 2 is really the seventh part of the story.
Wow, that's not confusing at all.
I think this is like the marketing people who kind of get in the way sometimes with this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's absolutely nuts. The game names make absolutely no sense for this series.
They really don't. You just have to Google it to know what order to play them in.
Yeah, I mean, technically... they're all part of the same stories. So even that first one is still part of the story.
So that very first one, is that still only on PC? Do you know?
Yeah, it only ever got released on PC, I believe.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And like I said, it wasn't included in the other trilogy bundles because it was like, these games are included in Hitman Contracts and they've been revamped. So,
yeah. People would be like, this is confusing. Didn't I already play this level?
Yeah.
And then they would also have to port it out to other things, too. If they only ever had it on PC, then you can't really bundle it out if you're putting that bundle on PlayStation and Xbox and stuff. So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's everything. That's all the history and the fun facts.
Neat. So do you want to go over the story? I know the story is not... I like it because it's not super intense, you know?
Yeah, I'll just
we can just do like a brief summary.
I have a very brief summary of
awesome.
It.
Thanks.
So,
for being prepared.
I mean, my versions aren't always like 100% accurate. Sometimes you can test some of the things I say in my version of events.
Okay.
But we'll see how this goes.
You're just writing it from memory.
Yeah, some of
you
that.
You didn't look it up.
Or my interpretation of the story, you know.
Okay.
So the story is basically a journalist interviewing a former FBI director.
Who's in a wheelchair.
Who's in a wheelchair. Thank you, Nikki.
I mean, it's important because he's like, I don't know. It's one of his main things he talks about and stuff.
So the FBI director reveals that a cloned assassin thought of as an urban myth was behind a number of the high profile murders that have happened recently.
Urban myth. That's quite the compliment.
They then go through each case as you play the game. Basically, you know, you play a level and then we come back to them talking. The FBI director assures the reporter that the clone assassin, known as Agent 47, has been killed and they have his body as evidence.
Yes, 100%.
As you're listening to the story. So you're like, okay, I already know how this ends. Mm-hmm. Agent 47 dies.
Yeah, I think he's more like 99.9% sure.
Yeah. And it is revealed at the end of the game that Agent 47 was given a drug, only making him appear dead.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and murders everyone at his own funeral,
including
the FBI director and reporter, thus keeping his secret safe for what I assume is forever.
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 No one will ever find all those bodies really fancy funeral home.
They already have the cremation fire going. All he has to do is drop all 40 of them into that cremation fire.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong?
Yeah. And that's pretty much the story.
I love it. Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. So the nice thing is, though, like the individual like missions, they loosely like tie into a story, but it's not like a heavy amount mm-hmm. of story.
Yeah, and if you skip the story too, it's like you can still play the game pretty much.
It's still fun. And every mission is independent, so it's like, yeah, you're looking up facts and stuff for each case individually anyway.
Yeah, and they give you like the case briefing each time also, so you always know what you're supposed to be doing pretty much.
Yeah.
So I like that too, because sometimes you don't always feel like sitting through a cutscene.
Yeah, let's get into the pros, Nikki. Yeah, so what else did you like about the game?
So I actually really like this game, and I'm happy about it, because I've been wanting to try the Hitman games for a while, because they're one of the main big franchises I feel like I really haven't gotten around to yet. So thanks for picking it.
Yeah. For me personally, I've never really got into the game series just because I'm like, okay, stealth games, they aren't really my cup of tea usually. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons I never really thought to play it before. So yeah.
I didn't really know. I don't think I've played a lot of stealth games. I've played some games where you can be stealthy, you know, but it's not necessarily required. But I do like them. I think they're fun.
Yeah.
One of the main things I like about this game is each case or each level is sort of like a puzzle. So it's kind of like a puzzle game. But the puzzle's killing people.
Yeah.
But it's like you have to do it in like a correct order. Sometimes, you know, there's like specific timing that you need to do for it and things. So it's like you can't just go in and just kill people. You have to have a strategy. You have to have a plan sort of around it.
Yeah. And as more and more people start vanishing, like the alert level kind of goes up. So yeah. You want to be careful about like not trying to like just go through and murder everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agreed. Like I wrote that I like the sandboxy design of the level and they're just like usually multiple routes you can take to the target, multiple ways to kill the target.
Yeah.
Like it's very much a kind of choose your own adventure.
A choose your own strategy sort of thing too, you know.
But yeah, it is also like a puzzle game because it's usually pretty difficult to figure out exactly how to kill your targets.
Yeah, oh my god, I died. Man, I wish I had looked at the stats to see how many times I died, because it was a lot.
Did you ever do the strategy where you like alert the guards and then you're like, you basically go into like a corner and you're just like killing them as they come up one at a time?
No, it was not that
and
hard
you pretty much almost kill every single guard in the level. I've definitely done that before.
No, I didn't do that, except for I was trying to do it in the very last one, but
yeah. The secret is to make sure that no one can get behind you. And then you just kill them as they come up one at a time.
This works if you're good at like aiming at their heads. If I mean, you're not, though, then they're going to just ambush you.
There's a bit of auto aim, so the game helps you out, even on the hard mode.
I didn't have auto aim.
Did we play the same game, babe?
I didn't have auto aim.
It kind of like moves you towards the targets a little bit automatically.
I didn't have that. Was that a setting you turned on?
No. It was part of the game.
Maybe.
Maybe you just didn't notice it?
Oh, I didn't use it if that was the thing. I was just aiming myself.
I mean, you didn't have to do anything. It just kind of like did it for you. Anyway, so there may or may not be auto aim, depending on if you play the game.
I don't think I had it, because I definitely wasn't hitting people easily. I was missing people everywhere. I don't know. Could be a me thing. You guys can let us know in the comments. Something else that I like about this game is there's just like a whole bunch of different weapons and methods that you can use to like solving and completing the levels and killing people. You don't have to use a gun every time. You have like poison you can use. Sometimes there's like booby traps you can set to kill people. I feel like it's fun because you don't always have to just like kill people the same way. You can be creative.
Yeah, I always like the sedative or the poison in the food. Like mm-hmm. That was always like a really like
sneaky
chill way to mm-hmm. kill people.
But honestly, setting up the booby traps, that's like the funnest part.
Oh yeah, that was fun too.
You feel like Kevin McAllister from Home Alone, and you're like, hey, I'm killing these bad guys with this piano that's falling.
Drop a chandelier on somebody.
Exactly. It kind of adds like a silly factor to it, because it's like, would an assassin really do this? I don't know. I don't know any assassins, so I'm going to believe it. Okay. Yeah,
I love how, like, you know, you can follow the target's, like, routine or whatever. They'll go through, like, a series of stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember one in particular where it's, like, they're doing all this stuff in this wine cellar, and then they, like, walk under where this chandelier is hanging specifically and just like stand there, and it's like just kind of in a weird spot.
Yeah,
where it's like why are they just going and standing in this and one like, spot underneath the chandelier?
People don't have phones in this game. There's they're not just like standing there looking at like Reddit or whatever.
There's not really anything like interesting about this corner. They just go over there and act like they're doing something. I'm like,
that's why I said the people are dumb in this game.
Well, they're dumb and not dumb, because the parts of the AI were actually pretty challenging. Yeah. I thought. So one of the things I liked was just like the costumes, like they cracked me up.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So Agent 47 is totally going to blend in with this disguise of a slightly different suit. It's like, I love it. Like his base, like outfit is a suit. And like, there's definitely like that higher tier outfit in a lot mm-hmm. of levels that are like a suited bodyguard. It's like the only difference is like it's a slightly like different looking suit.
And they
like,
might have an earpiece or
and
something.
And they might have an earpiece and sunglasses or something. But I'm like, it almost looks exactly the same as what he's normally wearing.
Yeah. My favorite is when you get to dress up as Santa and you're like a Santa daddy, because, you know, you're pretty buff and like your face is like all chiseled and everything. But you're in a Santa costume. It's like, okay, Santa. Yeah. Looking hot.
that drunk Santa Claus is pretty easy to take down. Goes back in the kitchen by himself.
Yeah.
It's like just surrounded by knives, not really even aware of what you're holding.
Another thing that I like, I thought the interface was pretty simple. There's not like a whole bunch of different menus that you have to keep track of or like anything like that. You pretty much just have your inventory, and then you have where you can sort of upgrade your weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I like appreciated that, because sometimes it can be a little overwhelming when you have 5,000 different things you have to try to upgrade, and you've got your health you need to upgrade, you got your stamina you need to upgrade, you got your weapons you need to do stuff to, and you got skills you need to acquire. You know, sometimes that can get a little like overwhelming, can be a lot. And I thought this was just simple, and yeah, it didn't need to be anything more than what it was, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's pretty straightforward. There is an upgrade screen, but it's like mm-hmm. there's not too much on it. It's like your health, like, and then like just a few weapons.
Yeah.
But I did think it was cool that like when you found a weapon in a stage, you could essentially like keep it, and then once you had it, like, you could take it with you into other levels or something. Mm-hmm. Like, so once you found like a cool machine gun, you could like, well, I want to take this out of the level when I'm done, so you could come back and put it in like a briefcase or something, and then walk out of the level with it, or put it like in a Dropbox or something.
Yeah, and then it's just in your arsenal.
And then then you have it forever, which is nice.
Forever.
So it was cool. So as you're playing through the levels, you're kind of like building up this like crazy arsenal, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another cool thing is they have a lot of different difficulty options, which gives you good replay value, I think.
Yeah.
So you have like a really easy one, and then you have normal. And then you have like two more tiers after that, I believe. Like,
yeah, like something
advanced and then a super hard, I guess.
Yeah.
I played on normal. Which one did you play on? Normal or
I initially played through it on normal, and then I went back and did the missions on pro.
Nice.
Because that was one of the cool things.
Was that the hardest one, or was that just that was the hardest one. Up? Okay.
So that was one of the nice things too, is like you weren't like totally married to that difficulty setting. Mm-hmm. When you come back to the main screen and come back into it, go back into a mission, you have the option to like choose the difficulty, like re-choose it there.
Yeah, you could literally do every level on like different difficulties pretty much. And then each difficulty, I thought it was kind of neat that it wasn't just the hardness of like the characters and stuff you had to fight, but also how many saves that you could do.
Yeah.
So for mine, I can only have 7 save slots. And I think for the one under, the easiest one, you could have unlimited save slots.
Yeah.
So yeah, mine only had 7. And so it was like the harder you went, the less opportunities you could save, which I thought was kind of like interesting.
And then the hardest one where you didn't have any saves.
Yeah. So but, like, I thought that was cool because that adds like a different layer of difficulty. Not just the enemies are harder, you know.
Yeah, and then the harder difficulties, there's a bunch of stuff like the AI is a little bit better, and then like only the targets will show, the main targets will show up on the radar, so a lot of the guards and stuff won't show up anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. But yeah, the different difficulties was a good add.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else for the pros?
Yeah, I have a couple more things.
Cool.
So when I had a clever idea, it almost was always like already designed into the level.
Nice.
Like there's a van, the stage where you can find a box of donuts. And my first instinct was like to drug the donuts and give them to the van of cops.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, cops love donuts.
Yeah.
And then like I took the donut box over there and I was surprised I got the option to like knock on the door and leave the donuts there and totally eat them. I'm like, oh man, that's brilliant.
It's like you read my mind.
But stuff like that where it's like, oh, I think I should be able to like rig this or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's almost always like wired
and
in.
And then you would be able to. So they probably had really good like game testers and stuff.
Yeah. And developers aware mm-hmm. of like all the stuff like you might want to think of or something. But yeah. Mm-hmm. I felt like almost every idea I had was like already in there somewhere.
Because you are an assassin too. So it's like you got to think of fun stuff people would want to do in addition to just being a serious killer all the time.
Yeah. You don't want it to be like the same thing like every single stage.
Yeah. And another thing personally for me, and maybe this is for everyone too, but like, for me, it's a really good laugh when you fail miserably in this game.
It can be funny.
Oh my God, I failed so many times in so many dumb ways. And then like sometimes like something would work and then I would die and I would do that exact same thing again. But the guards would catch on this time and I'd be like, what the heck? So yeah, I just got a lot of good laughs out of this game because I do stupid crap all the time. So it was like, I would just die in so many silly, dumb ways. Like it really gave me a good chuckle.
Yeah. It's definitely the type of game where like you will make a lot of mistakes as you play it
mm-hmm.
and you'll have to reset or reload or whatever. But yeah, I thought that was part of the fun. Like I enjoyed that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It was silly when you made a mistake or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you ended up running into the bathroom and just watching them file single file into the bathroom as you murder them one at a time. And then like dragging all their corpses into that bathroom.
No one will know. World's best assassin.
For me though, like overall, I really enjoyed the game. And this was my first time playing any of the Hitman games.
Yeah, same.
And I can totally see why they're popular.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I totally could see you doing like a Hitman cosplay too for Dragon Con or something.
Yeah.
We can get a little barcode tattoo, temporary one, put it on the back, and you can have a suit.
I have to go out and get another suit. Yeah. It's been a while.
Oh, but you know what would be fun? If you could like get a wire hanger and put it in your tie to make it look like it was kind of flying away.
Like in that main
picture from the menu.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I've seen people do stuff like that on like RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff, and it looks really cool. It's like an illusion, you know?
Yeah.
So for cons, do you have any?
Yeah, I just had a couple.
Yeah, me too. I didn't have a lot because I did like this game overall.
Yeah, me too. So what was the con, Nikki?
My main con was that some of the levels can be sort of mazy. Like I would, even with the little map at the bottom, it only showed you your proximity, so there was really no way to like see your home, a whole map of where you were.
Yeah, sometimes there were like vertical levels that you couldn't really tell.
Yeah, and like, gosh, there were some levels where I was just running around in circles. It's like a lot of stuff looked similar. A lot of the doors and stuff would look sort of similar, and then go through a door, I'm like, crap, I already been here. And like, how do I even get to just exit the level? Like, you know, sometimes just finding the exit to escape was like a challenge in itself.
Yeah. And then sometimes like there'd be like, you know, you'd have a level that'd be super mazy, and then there was just like one particular door. If you didn't find that door,
yes,
it's like that would be like access to another half of the level. That, yeah, it was, yeah, a little bit, it could be a little bit frustrating.
So I feel like it's not a big con, but like it's just really important if you have a good memory for direction and stuff, which I don't. Just pay attention because, like, yeah, it is really easy to get lost and turn around. What's something you got?
So my other con, like I had that listed.
Oh, you had that as one too.
Yeah, just a bit
did
too
you
mazy.
Get lost? As well?
Yeah, I definitely got lost a few times.
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. So just my other one was just like I would usually end up with almost the same exact loadouts almost every mission.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, while you can gather like a super cool arsenal of weapons, the guns that you're probably going to want to take are the ones that you can like customize and upgrade yourself.
True. Yeah.
So if you want like a silencer on your gun, like you can just go ahead and put that on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like once you have the silencer, it's kind of like, I'd rather just have a gun with a silencer. I don't know.
Same. Yeah, right. It's yeah. Like, do I want to get caught or do I not want to get caught?
Yeah. It's like they
what
all
a
go,
hard question for an assassin.
They all go down with one headshot, so it's not like one day. Even if a gun does more damage, it's like it's like the silencer definitely takes priority.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I would usually end up with almost the same loadouts because yeah, my customized weapons with the silencers were like ideal.
Mm-hmm. Can you remind me again what year did the Reprisal one come out?
So it came out in 2023 and 2024.
Okay, cool.
So 2023 on iOS and Android and 2024 on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, okay. Because, like, my other con is that it just bugged out a couple of times and froze up on me, and I just had to totally just exit the game and restart it and start my level back over.
Yeah, that's a pain.
That happened, like, two or three times. Did that happen to you at all?
No, it actually never bugged out for me.
Really? Lucky.
I mean, every now and then I'll get like a little bit of a lag spike or something like that, but yeah, nothing that would just totally freeze the game. That
yeah,
sucks. That
there was
happened.
Like two or three times where it totally either froze or it was just like, bloop, here's an error, like, and it shut me out. I was like, what the heck? And I haven't had that happen in very many Switch games, so
yeah,
I don't know what caused that. Because it didn't happen to you. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I could definitely see that happening because I did get some lag spikes. I'm like, yeah, you know, maybe it was close to freezing up there.
Yeah. So do you want to move on to strategy?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. So what's the strategy that you used?
Well, first and foremost, just kind of update your weapons or upgrade your weapons and tools when possible. Like we were talking about earlier, like if you can have a silencer, obviously that is going to be way more sneaky than having a gun without a silencer.
Yeah. So fun fact, I actually played through the entire game on normal before I realized how to even get to the upgrade screen.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Because the upgrade screen is kind of buried. Like I didn't like notice it. It's buried specifically when you're doing your weapon loadout. there's an option to customize weapons. I thought that was talking about like customizing, you know, which weapon you were taking with you. But it was really like customize, like, or upgrade is really what it should have been called.
Which I guess you told me about that, so I probably would not have found that if you didn't share that with me.
Yeah. It was kind of buried, so yeah, it was like...
Definitely look for that when you're picking your loadout. If you played and you didn't know about that, then you can like add silencers, you can add, upgrade your reload time, get bigger mags.
Yeah. And honestly though, there was nothing that was like absolutely critical to being able to like play the game and enjoy it. Like I said, I played through the entire game without even knowing it was there.
But the silencers do make things a lot easier.
They do, for sure.
That's one of the only things I made sure that I got on all my guns. So I was like, that helps.
Yeah, true. So another piece of strategy advice I have is like the first few times you play a mission, you're usually mostly just scouting and figuring out like NPC behaviors and like where the targets are even. Like I almost always have to reload like a few times after starting it. So like, even if you get caught, it can help to like, just kind of like run into the level and just try to figure out where things are, like have people chase you. Just like, keep going.
Expect to die.
Yeah. Just
and let's go in.
It's not that big a deal. It's going to happen. You're probably going to die a bunch unless you're just like super cautious.
We kind of touched on this before, but another thing is just try different killing techniques. You don't have to shoot someone every time use the choke wire thing, whatever that's called. Every time, you know, you can poison people. You can rig up the, you know, booby traps and stuff. Sometimes you can just lure them. You lure them somewhere, I feel like. You know, just get kind of creative with it, I feel like.
I kind of had the same advice. Like, yeah, don't take the same approach each time. There were several times where, like, I realized I was spending a long time waiting for an NPC to get to a specific point where I could, like, kill him for his costume or something like that. When really there was, like, easier, faster ways if I had just explored the level more or gone, like, a different route.
Yeah.
So it's definitely good to, like, try going into different areas and sneak through in different ways, because usually there are a lot of different ways to the target.
Yeah, be creative. All right, I have a couple of more.
All right, go for it.
The next one, I feel like it's obvious, but for me, because I had 7 saves, it was like always a good idea to save right after you like kill someone or something like that.
Yeah.
So like after you accomplish something kind of big, like save. Or else you're going to have to redo that. As long as you're not like on alert or, you know, people are really suspicious about you. But yeah, after you do something big, just save it. And then the last thing is, you want to do it with me? It's a meme. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't
like, I have
be
no idea what
suspicious.
You're going to say.
That little meme song, whatever. I think it's from like Parks and Rec, but like I just kept singing that the whole time I was playing the song. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
It's like just a regular guy changing his outfit in the middle of the street.
That and the like housekeeper from Mr. Deeds, where he's like, I'm very, very sneaky. Like, I kept thinking of those two things like every time.
Yeah, I love it, man. Yeah, you put on the right costume and everyone believes that you're a bodyguard or you're you know, they're only, I gotta imagine there are only so many like guards. Like, how do these guys not all kind of know each other at this point?
That's why I say they're dumb.
That's fun though. That's part of the fun of the game. Is like you being clever and blending in, even if it does take some really unbelievability to like for that to work. All right. So do you have anything for the future of the franchise?
So I have one thing that I saw. Actually, I was looking at the PlayStation store for a new game and I saw this. So Hitman World of Assassination. I believe from what I can find on the interwebs that this is a bundle that I guess it just has a name. It's a specific bundle that has a name. And what it is Hitman 3 along with the two previous games.
Yeah, so I think it's called the World of Assassination Trilogy is what those games are.
Oh, okay. And so I'm thinking, I'm assuming for that, this is DLC like that goes along with that, which I've never seen DLC that just goes with a bundle. Usually a DLC is always with a specific game. But anyways, I saw an Eminem versus Slim Shady Elusive Target game, I guess, or DLC that came out with this.
Yeah. So the interesting thing kind of behind this, I think, and I didn't read too much about this, mm-hmm. so don't like.
And that is going to be free to play like all December of 2025, by the way. So you know, that's cool. Kind of cool that it's free.
So IO Interactive has been experimenting with live service for like single player games.
Okay.
You usually think of like a live service game as like a multiplayer game. Well, they're thinking about trying to do it as like a single player game.
Okay.
I personally
like Fall Guys, or maybe like even the first Overwatch or something.
Yeah, but it's
they're trying to do sort of like that where it's free to play, but instead of it being multiple people, it's just like a campaign.
Yeah, like a single player game.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, like the idea just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, right now you could play it for free, but eventually I guess it will be paid DLC.
Okay. Yeah, wasn't sure how it worked.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how this would work. Like,
I kind of want to play it, though, because I do like Eminem.
Yeah.
And it looked interesting. So I was like, I'm glad that it's free. I might try it.
Yeah, and maybe that's a way to go back and get people to like get that free-to-play bundle, and then mm-hmm. you're going back and you're like, oh, this is fun, let me go play some of these other games in this bundle.
Yeah,
let me go back and play Hitman or Hitman 2 or Hitman 3. That kind of makes a lot of sense, but yeah, that aspect of it does. But yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the live service single player game model. I don't like the idea of like the live service ending and you basically losing all your content.
Yeah,
like that would be absolutely horrible.
Yeah, and then if you don't finish, you can never go back and finish.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what would make me nervous about that idea, but
I mean, it already kind of sucks now that you buy a game on like digitally and you don't technically even own that game. They can take it away like at any time almost. So, I feel like that would just kind of encourage that behavior even more,
you know? Yeah, it could get even worse.
Yeah.
So the one thing I had for the future was that IO Interactive has confirmed that Hitman 3 won't be the final game in the franchise.
They Shocker.
Yeah. It's not surprising.
They're going to stop making a cash cow. I mean, they're not going to stop making a cash cow. Whoa.
Yeah. So they haven't announced anything specifically related to a game or anything. But yeah, I do love the idea that they were like, okay, we're just going to make this a shooter to test out our game making abilities, and that becomes like one of the biggest franchises ever.
Yeah. It's just like, I would like insane. To see what I would like to see, and I don't think this exists yet. If it does, I mean, there's a lot of games I don't know about, so it might. But I think it'd be fun to have like a couch co-op. Does it have to be like silly to be a couch co-op?
No.
Okay, so like couch co-op assassin game where you could do these levels, but you're like an assassination team. Like that would kind of interesting. Well, you'd have to like, it would be cool if there was like a dynamic to it where you have to communicate with each other.
Yeah, that would
do things kind of like Overcooked or whatever, but like for assassination.
Overcooked, but for assassination. That honestly sounds like a blast. I'd definitely be into that.
I mean, it's kind of like it'd just be like a different way to think about it, you know, because you're not solo, you know.
Yeah, sounds like a fun idea.
Yeah. So Eric, are you wondering if I did the challenge?
Yeah.
And what was the challenge again? Can so we remind everybody?
It was to get a trophy, but we didn't really have trophies on the Switch, so it was just to do the gist of the trophy, to kill everybody on the mission Requiem. What I didn't realize when I gave you that challenge was that you're required to do that in the mission anyway. So basically the
just beat them.
Yeah, the challenge was just to beat the game basically, because that's the last stage in the game.
Gotcha.
And it's kind of a secret stage because
it is.
It's kind of
I went through the whole level the first time and I was like, was I supposed to do something?
Like, yeah, it's
cause
like
because the credits are rolling during this level, you know.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, all right, it's just the end. But then you like start playing around with some of your controls and you're like, wait, my heart rate. Wait, then my heart rate just get faster.
Yeah, it was pretty clever because, yeah, they kind of disguised it within the credits.
Yeah. So basically you're there at your own funeral. The credits are rolling. Very much looks like this is just the end of the game, you know?
Yeah.
And then basically you can rotate the left, at least for the Switch, you can rotate the left joystick. Is it called a joystick?
Yeah.
Thumb, whatever. So fast that your heart rate gets back up, and then you can wake up and try to shoot everybody.
Yeah. And then you immediately have to, like,
for some reason, they buried you with two guns. Like, that was dumb.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things that are dumb about this scenario. It's like, we're going to hold a funeral for a secret assassin that literally no one's ever heard of.
Right.
No one knows. It's like, why are they holding funeral services for this guy?
I know, there was like a priest there and everything.
It's like, you don't...
It's like they would have just chucked him.
Yeah, they just chuck him in the fire. Like,
yeah.
There's absolutely no reason for the
funeral
service.
I mean, he didn't even have any family. He was a clone.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like nobody's really going to come for his ashes or anything.
And then, putting the guns on the chest. It's like, all right.
I tried to beat this a bunch of times, and then eventually I was like, Eric, you do it so I can see how to do, is
yeah.
it possible?
It's definitely not
Let
easy.
Let me see your strategy. And you did it, and then I kind of forgot, and I never went back and finished it.
So, yeah, my strategy.
My bad.
My strategy was, when you wake up, immediately run towards a specific corner that had some walls.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to start killing people as they're coming up, even before
yeah.
they start coming up. And then you have to use the walls as cover. And they're not they're kind of oriented weirdly, but it was
yeah.
not easy to do.
Yeah. You're really good at making headshots.
Oh yeah.
I'm not. I kept shooting people in the body, and that takes way more bullets and
yeah.
stuff. But yeah, I was I meant to go back, and I definitely have confidence that I could have done it, but I just haven't done it yet. So
okay.
I did not do the challenge.
So you're rapping.
Yeah, I'm rapping.
So long story short, you're rapping.
Long story short, I'm rapping.
All right. Let's hear that Nikki rap.
Well, actually, it's going to be an Agent 47 rap.
What?
Oh.
All right.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. Agent 47 stepping on the scene. Freshly shaved head, feeling clean. Suit on fleek, feeling lean. Way too hot to shop at Sheen. Gold cuff links, gotta be seen. They so bright, you gonna need sunscreen. No need to sound mean, I just need some caffeine. Been doing this thing since I was 18. Since I was a little bean, was never allowed to cause a scene, never allowed to find a queen, never loved, cared for, or seen. Damned forever as a killing machine. Damned forever as a killing machine.
Wow, good job, Nikki.
Yeah,
you
sorry, I really got serious there at the end. With
yeah,
it.
I was surprised by that more serious turn, almost like the game itself
yeah.
making that serious turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad at times, okay?
It is, yeah.
Poor Agent 47.
Just a lonely killing machine.
Damned forever. Like a killing machine.
All right, but I am excited to hear what the next game is.
All right, so next game, it's going to be January. That really doesn't have anything to do with the game, I think.
Winter, cold, snow, something with snow, maybe?
No, I just was thinking, New Year, probably zombies are going to come.
I did see when I got home that the screen just said death.
Yeah, so I died. I was playing
the game.
I died.
So a game where you die is my guess.
Wow.
A game really, that has death as one of the outcomes.
Really narrowing it down there, Eric. Really, really narrowing it down.
Okay, so...
It has zombies.
I'm going to say it looked like a tropical death print. So I'm going to say maybe one of the Dead Island games.
Yes, Dead Island 2.
Nice.
So I really like... I played Dead Island 1 and I played Dead Island 2. I really like these games. And so we found Dead Island 2, I think, at Mega Replay. For a good price. So I got that. And played it while we were on break from the podcast. And then I was trying to figure out what game I wanted to pick. And I was like, you know what? We haven't done a zombie game since October of last year. We did Last of Us 2. So it's time for a zombie game.
Yeah, you of know? Course.
Zombie games are always fun.
I always associate death with January, so
yeah,
it works.
And yeah, I really like this game. There's like different slayers that you can play as. So I played it as one slayer, so now I'm replaying it again as a different slayer.
Cool.
And your challenge is going to be to beat the game and complete the mission called My Mailman Was a Zombie.
Okay.
Without looking up the mission. Don't look up how to beat that mission specifically.
Okay.
But you can look up other things in the game.
Just not related to that mission.
Just not that mission.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Because it'll be way too easy if you look it up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm excited. I've been wanting you to play this game. I was like trying to get you to play it just without picking it for the podcast. But you never did. You just keep picking your own games. Selfish.
Yeah, that's true.
And so now I'm going to make you play it.
I mean, it looks like a pretty sweet game. So I'm not going to like, I'm not sad about it.
Exactly. So like you need to take my suggestions more often.
All right.
I'm excited about it. So yeah. All right.
All right.
Until next time, everybody.
Bye.
Have a good year. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, all the holidays.
All the holiday things.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
If you want to give us a nice Christmas present, you can leave us a review, leave us a comment, you know, follow us on Instagram, or just show any kind of support, you know, at all. It's like really nice to hear from you guys. Thanks again and Happy New Year. Bye.